Movies Are a Thing is a weekly podcast going over the movies premiering this week.
And any other movie-related tangents we decide to venture off on today.
Hello and welcome to Movies Are a Thing. My name is John.
And my name is Alan. And here are some movies premiering this week.
But as always, before we do that, how's your week been going, man?
Better now. But, it's been going good.
Yeah.
Saw John Wick 3 on Sunday.
Which was...
Superb.
Fantastic.
Super good. Best John Wick of the series, I think.
Really?
I mean, I feel like they've all gotten better.
Oh, just kind of as time goes on, like they, as each one gets released, it's better and better and better.
I think so. I just like how they're building the whole assassin world.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole, I don't know. I definitely liked John Wick 2 a lot better than 1.
Okay.
Not that 1 is bad at all, but I just have enjoyed them more and more as they've gone on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I got you, man. And it doesn't have to do with anything with the fact that in number 1 they end up killing the dog. Spoilers.
Actually, I think that does contribute to it, because when I watched the other two, I was like, don't you dare kill that dog, or don't hurt the dog. But they do have a pretty tongue-in-cheek callback to the whole dog thing, without getting into spoilers, but there's a part in there.
Well, thank you for avoiding spoilers.
But you'll see it, yeah. You'll know what I'm talking about. As soon as it happens, you'll see what I'm talking about.
I'm kind of behind the times and haven't had a chance to go watch it yet, but... That's just me.
I can only see Endgame so many times, which I've only seen it twice, and I'm kind of pissed off.
I thought you were going to go see it a third time.
I know, but our schedules fell through. I almost went by myself. Like, one day after work, I was like, I need to see this again.
Yeah. I did have somebody come in who had seen it 5 times.
See, I saw Infinity War 4,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, come on.
No, I know one of my coworkers has seen it 5 times. I know at least one person that has come into the theater has seen it 5 times, and it's... I mean, I like the movie. I just don't think I could last for, 15 hours of watching it within that short of a time span.
Would you see it a second time?
Oh, I did see it a second time.
Oh, you did. That's right.
I've seen it as many times as you.
And that's embarrassing.
A little bit.
Because you have no time to see movies.
I have no time to see movies.
Which is weird, because we both have full-time careers.
And then other stuff on the side.
I don't get how I have so much time. And you work at a movie theater.
Right. Well, yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, John Wick 3, very good movie. Second favorite movie of the year, aside from Endgame, thus far.
Alrighty.
Do you know Keanu Reeves is going to be in Toy Story 4?
I did. I heard that he's going to be voicing a character. I think they actually released something that...
like a biker?
I think so. I don't know. I haven't looked too much into it, but... I do know that he's voicing a character, and they, I believe, released either what he looks like or an actual clip of his character just within the last couple of days. I haven't had a chance to really look into it at all.
I saw him doing an interview, and he like recited a line from the movie.
Really?
In the character's voice, and I was kind of like, whoa, what? It was really brief, but...
Yeah. Did it not sound like him at all?
I feel like people nowadays... Most people aren't going to... It's like his normal everyday voice.
Okay.
Almost. I don't know how to describe it. It's not John Wick.
Right.
Because I feel like a lot of people think that Keanu Reeves' normal voice is how he talks in John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really actually completely different.
Oh, yeah.
In person.
Well, John Wick is a persona. It is a character that's made up, so...
Guns. Lots of guns. But yeah, no, I recommend it. Go see it if you can. And, we're going to touch on that in the Patreon section.
Yep.
I was going to bring up Batman. And if you know what I'm talking about, go to our Patreon.
Hey.
And then you get to hear it. And if you don't know what it is,
go to our Patreon.
Otherwise, you can look it up on the internet, but why would you do that?
Well, I mean, if they're listening in the future, it's not going to really work out all too well for them. So go to the Patreon and find out anyway.
Just do it.
But we'll get to that in a little bit here. I don't know, you ready to go on to the first movie?
I hope so. And by saying that, I hope it doesn't let me down. Not that I have high expectations. Tell them what the movie is.
The first movie that we are talking about today is Aladdin. Or maybe just Al. Or how about Din? Or how about Lottie?
Oh, it's so sad.
Oh.
only because it's not what we're getting. Or at least I don't know what we're getting with.
It's kind of sounding a little bit like an older Fresh Prince. But let's go ahead and go into this. Aladdin is rated PG. A street rat frees a genie from a lamp, granting all of his wishes and transforming himself into a charming prince in order to marry a beautiful princess. But soon, an evil sorcerer becomes hellbent on securing the lamp for his own sinister purposes. IMDb has this one at a 6.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 60%. And Metacritic is sitting at a 55. Now, I would talk about the trailers, but that first trailer, I know we talked about it a little bit when it first premiered, that it just, the genie looked horrible. And then the second trailer is when we actually got to see the genie in his, like, you know, quote unquote human form, when he wasn't, you know, fully blue CGI.
It's kind of weird, and I can understand it because I was kind of the same way, how they released the first image of the genie, human form. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is stupid. This is not the genie. This is dumb. Show him in the blue form. That's horrible. This is dumb. That's not the genie. But I mean, it's like, it's hard to adapt that character.
Oh, absolutely. And especially if you don't have somebody like Robin Williams. I mean, when they made the animated picture, they made the genie for him. While they were writing the genie's part, they were making it for Robin Williams. Yes, it was kind of like a pipe dream in their eyes, but they were writing it for Robin Williams.
Yeah, have you ever looked up the test footage? So they used his stand-up comedy with the animation.
Yep.
Yeah, so literally the genie, when you hear people say Robin Williams is the genie, it's mm-hmm. like quite literal, because no, that character was made for him.
Yeah, absolutely. The way that they got Robin Williams to basically sign on to be the genie is with those test animations. Mm-hmm. They sent it over to him, and the main animator basically said the highlight of his life was having Robin Williams laugh at his animation. At you know, just how funny it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's basically what the test footage was this lead animator making something quick and sending it off to Robin Williams to kind of show him, hey, this is what we're thinking for the genie, you know, your style of comedy, whether that's impersonating mm-hmm. you know, other celebrities or just going off on these rants, it can be anything like that, because that's you, and the genie is you.
So pretty much he was like, hey, do what you want.
Yeah, basically.
We'll mold it to you.
I think that's kind of how they got him. Well, and
yeah, because I know they wanted him, mm-hmm. obviously, because they made it for him. But I also know there was like a bunch of there was a falling out for a little bit between Disney and Robin Williams, because they went back on like all of their agreement.
So basically, to, you know, not get into any like...
I know one of the things...
Not crazy deep diving down.
Yeah.
But what it was that when Robin Williams signed the contract, he said he didn't want his likeness in more than like 25% of the advertising.
He took up like a whole poster.
And then basically he actually, before he signed on for Aladdin, he was already signed on for Ferngully.
Mm-hmm.
And... because when he signed on for Aladdin, because he did not kind of renege on Ferngully, Disney was basically like, okay, well, we're not gonna, you know, kind of follow that part of your contract. And that's how they had that falling out. There is a whole story that some video essayists on YouTube have gone through this whole thing. Lindsay Ellis just released one not too long ago here about Robin Williams falling out with Disney, and that's kind of where I was getting a lot of this information, because I went through and watched it.
Well, I know there was, I saw some of it,
mm-hmm.
not the video essay, but I know that part of the falling out was from what I gathered, he didn't want to be the main focus of the advertising.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
he couldn't be on X amount of percentage, like take up this amount of space on a poster. That's one I remember specifically. And then he's just boom right there. He's like the main
mm-hmm.
draw, which why was that his stipulation?
Because he didn't want his likeness, his name, to be used to try to garner attention for this movie. He wanted the movie to be to stand alone on its on to stand on its own as the amazing kind of movie that it is. You know, he didn't want to kind of lead down the rabbit hole into what we have now, where animated features, where you look at it and it's like there's this star and 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 this actor and this actress and blah 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 blah, and all combining in to be, you know, this movie. Whereas before it was, especially for like Disney musicals and stuff like that, Disney animated features, it was a lot of like Broadway stars and, you know, people who are known for, you know, acting and singing and that kind of stuff, but not necessarily big Hollywood celebrity names that are specifically used to bring in the crowds. And, you know, he didn't necessarily want that kind of thing to happen to Aladdin, but it ended up happening. And then we kind of dove down this rabbit hole that we are in now.
But then he didn't come back for Aladdin 2 because they got Homer Simpson, aka Dan Castellaneta, to do it.
For Aladdin 2,
Return of Jafar.
Jafar, there we go.
Jafar, I can't breathe, Jafar. Anyway, and then he recorded Dan Castellaneta. He did all his lines for Aladdin 3, but then they finally got Robin Williams back, so they just scrapped it, and they did it with Robin Williams because they were so happy to have him back. Which, I mean, I don't feel bad for Dan Castellaneta because he's
Homer Simpson.
He's literally probably one of the most, I was gonna say maybe, but I wouldn't put him above Mickey Mouse. He's pretty much top five iconic cartoon characters of all time, most recognizable.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't feel bad for him. But nonetheless, it kind of sucked. I mean, I think he got paid, so.
Yeah. Well, so basically what happened is the guy who was in charge of Disney animation at the time was Jeffrey Katzenberg, I believe, when that whole kerfuffle took place. And so the way that they got Robin Williams back is they fired Jeffrey Katzenberg. And they brought on this other person to kind of be the lead animator. And he was like, hey, I know this happened. It was really kind of terrible on our part. And we sincerely apologize. And that's what Robin Williams wanted. It was an apology and for Katzenberg to be gone. But
right.
But then Katzenberg went and made his own animation studio, whose biggest... biggest movie that you would kind of consider that kind of started off, again, the whole big celebrity names, involves a Smash Mouth song, Shrek.
Oh, yeah. I was actually going to bring up Shrek because I was going to compare it to how we said the genie was literally made for Robin Williams. And I was going to say it's not like Shrek, where they were going to have Chris Farley originally, and they even have the test footage with Chris Farley.
He recorded like over 70% of his lines before he passed away.
Which, honestly, not saying anything about his death. I'm saying I'm glad Mike Myers ended up being Shrek.
Well, here's the thing, though.
I've seen the footage, and I've watched it. I don't know if it would be different if it originally came out as Chris Farley, but I can't picture Shrek without that Scottish accent.
Well, here's the thing. Mike Myers, when he came in to kind of take over for Chris Farley, just talked normally. It was his normal voice. And they recorded all of the lines. And then Mike Myers was like, you know what? I think it'll be better with the Scottish accent. And so they went through and re-recorded it and had to redo a bunch of footage that they had already kind of completed, just kind of forming everything around his Canadian accent.
Right.
But he re-recorded everything in the Scottish accent, and they had to redo a bunch of stuff. I think they were saying it cost like $40 million in redoing everything. But with how much Shrek made at the box office and since, you know, I think it was a pretty good move on their part to do that.
I would say so. I mean, like I said, I can't picture Shrek without
Mike Myers in a Scottish accent.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Chris Farley's voice there would just be...
I mean, seeing some of like the animatics for it with Chris Farley's voice over top, it's just weird. It doesn't seem right. I don't know if it's just because I'm so used to Mike Myers' interpretation of everything there, or I guess I don't know, but it just seems weird hearing Chris Farley say the lines that I most associate now with Mike Myers in a Scottish accent.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just, it's getting back to the genie part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't take anything away from Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you gun to your head, top five people who you would have pull, like, do the genie,
mm-hmm.
he'd probably be one of them because he has the charisma.
He had the charisma. I feel like nowadays a lot of that kind of charisma, like a lot of that energy, I guess, more than charisma, a lot of that energy is gone. And especially from the clip that we watched for, or I know I watched, I think you said that you had watched it too, for Prince Ali.
Ugh.
It was not great. There was no energy.
It's like drinking a flat diet soda that you think is cold and carbonated.
Right.
It's warm and flat, lets you down and leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that annoyed me the most about that is that they slowed it down, and that took a ton of energy out of it too.
Okay. Who would be, if you were the casting director, and they're like, hey, we're doing a live action adaptation of Aladdin, a remake. Who's your first pick for Genie?
Ooh.
Tough one, huh?
I'd want to screen test a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
I'd want to screen test John Mulaney.
I could see it.
Just because, like, on his stage shows and stuff, he's constantly, you know, moving around and doing stuff. And so just kind of, if you're going off of, say, big comic people, and I mean, he's done acting as well, being Spider-Ham in Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Among other things, I'm sure I can't think of them off the top of my head, but
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel like he could kind of channel a lot more energy into that role. I mean, honestly,
I mean,
take any one of the genies from the Broadway shows or the traveling shows, they're amazing. And a lot of them have just that energy and that, you know, charisma that you instantly like them.
Who, I don't know, even know who played it in.
I honestly can't remember their names because I am horrible with names, but I know when it was here in Minnesota and we went to go watch it, I mean, the genie was just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then not too long ago, I saw something where they had the five actors who had really played the genie and like been the lead actors for the genie, whether on Broadway or the traveling shows since it began. And I mean, every single one of them had a different take, but I feel like they all did an amazing job, and they were all kind of singing some of the different songs within Aladdin, and it was pretty awesome to watch.
You know what? What about this? This isn't my pick, but we were just talking about it. What if Mike Myers? It's not my pick, but just it's an idea that just popped into my head.
Back in like the Wayne's World days, I would say yeah. Just because, again, it's the whole thing for me is, you know, not necessarily even like comedic timing or anything like that. It's just energy. Mm-hmm. That's one of the main things that I always got from the genie was just how much energy was behind the voice. And with Mike Myers, I don't see it. At least not anymore.
Okay. Want to hear my pick?
Let's hear it.
Andy Serkis. I'm dead. Think about it. If anyone can pull it off, like, at least, like, the motion capture with the blue and stuff,
mm-hmm.
that or Mark Hamill. I did see some things back in the day that said Jack Black, but I was kind of like, maybe, but...
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of see Jack Black. Dude, I can't see Mark Hamill. I
could.
I can.
But
I can
my top choice is Andy Serkis.
I can only see him as really either Luke or the Joker, for obvious reasons, but...
Chucky?
Well, yeah, I know, but I haven't watched that, so I don't necessarily see him as Chucky. I can only think that it'd be a lot more of a, say, young Joker voice in Chucky,
mm-hmm.
or just a Joker type voice coming from, you know, since it's coming from Mark Hamill. Yeah, I just can't see Andy Serkis.
I could.
Okay.
I mean, it's an idea.
I don't know, I'm still sticking with the Broadway genies. Should have been brought in for the movie. Would have been amazing to see.
Yeah, but then again, it's like, not going to take
They needed a big name.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, they need someone to draw it in. And, I mean, there's only a handful of people with a more well-known name than Will Smith.
Yeah, well, I mean, they could have had somebody, like a big name, come in to be the Sultan.
I mean, it is pretty much, it's pretty much a bunch of unknowns for the most part. I mean, Naomi Scott
is
kind of getting out there.
Yeah.
But I assure you, a lot of people didn't watch the Aladdin trailer and say, oh, that's the Pink Ranger.
Oh, that's painful. That movie should have gotten a lot more money than it actually did. Okay.
But, yeah, Will Smith, let's see here. He's definitely the biggest.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Nassim Pedrad is in there. She was on SNL.
Okay. I don't know who she is off the top of my head.
I mean, that's really the only reason that I know her is because of SNL. Yeah.
And the guy who plays Aladdin, what's his,
Mena Massad?
Mena Massad, yeah. I don't think he's ever been in anything else. He's been in, like, two movies.
I think I was reading something like he is, well, let's see here. Like, he actually is, like, fully stunt trained and everything like that, too. So a lot of the different stuff where, you know, when he's running through the village and everything like that, a lot of that is Mena Massad. I can't even pronounce his name. God, I'm sorry. But a lot of that is him just because he is kind of trained more in that kind of either free running or just stunt work.
So is that how they casted Aladdin? You just looked up parkour videos and they're like, you.
Well, I mean, he's got a pretty good voice, too, for singing.
I know, I was shocked by that. And that's Naomi Scott singing, too?
I believe so.
Oof. Jeez. Because I know it wasn't, I don't even know, what's his name from Full House, who voiced Aladdin in the 90s?
I can't think of his name.
Yeah, aside from Robert.
Isn't it like Jason something?
I think so. All I know is he was on Full House.
No, Scott Weiner.
Scott Weiner, yeah.
I believe.
Are you sure?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Weinger.
What was he on? He was on
Full House.
Okay, that's what I thought, yeah. Full House. Was it Full House?
Yep.
Okay. And then, obviously, Robin Williams and then Gilbert Godfrey.
Yep.
Which, they should have gotten him back, because that would have been awesome.
Linda Larkin.
That was Jasmine, right?
Yep. And then Jonathan Freeman was Jafar.
Yeah. I don't like the Jafar from what I see in the live-action one. He's not menacing.
No.
He's like, take her to the Cave of Wonder. I don't know. It's not... He seems pesty.
He doesn't seem like a creepy older guy.
No.
Like the original Jafar was a creepy older guy trying to marry Jasmine.
You know who would have been killer as Jafar? And one of the screenwriters, John August, he was also a producer on Prince of Persia, Ben Kingsley.
Hmm.
And I know they tried to go more the right cultural route with the actors in this one, but I'm just saying, I think Ben Kingsley could have played a very sinister, kind of creepy old Jafar. Just take what he was in the Mandarin, pretty much, when he was playing the Mandarin in Iron Man 3, before he was Trevor.
Yeah.
And you got a perfect Jafar. Think about it.
Okay.
Just think about it. Think about when he was pretending to be the Mandarin.
No, I got you, man.
That's like a perfect Jafar, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. This guy just... And same with Scar. Dude, the villains are not looking good to me right now in these 90s Disney's remakes.
Well, I mean, so the guy that's playing Jafar in Aladdin for this one is Marwan Kanzari.
I hope you're not asking me if you're pronouncing that right.
I'm just saying I'm probably completely mispronouncing that, and I do apologize. But let's see here. He's been in a few things recently, even.
Marwan?
Yeah. He was in Murder on the Orient Express. He was in the new The Mummy.
Oh.
And he was also in the new Ben-Hur.
So those are critical standouts in and of themselves.
Murder on the Orient Express did pretty well.
I don't know if it had that good of reviews.
I thought it did.
Look it up.
Well, let's see.
If we're on Rotten Tomatoes, let's click on him. Where is he? There you are. Murder on the Orient, 59%.
Really?
Yep.
Mm.
Aladdin is one of his highest rated movies, behind Angel and Wolf.
So just the basically the single word titles are better.
He's got a lot more Rottens than he does Fresh.
Mm.
And they're not even certified fresh. Speaking of angels and speaking of fresh, isn't Naomi Scott one of the angels in the Charlie's Angels reboot or remake?
You know, I think you're right. Let's see here. Let's see what we got going on.
I believe she is, because was Kristen... I want to say Kirsten.
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen or Kirsten?
Kristen. Kristen. Kristen Stewart is one of the angels as well.
So then it's definitely Naomi Scott, and then it's someone else.
Well, let's see what we got going on.
Because I remember I was like, before I realized who Naomi Scott was, I was kind of like, who the heck is this chick?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see here. So we got Naomi Scott, Kristen Stewart. I guess I don't know who they are considering angels, because I mean, like, Elizabeth Banks is in it as well.
I bet she's going to be the...
She's Bosley.
Really?
Yep.
That's what I was going to say.
Yep, she is
Bosley. I was like, she's going to be Bosley. I don't know why I was going to say Charlie, because I thought, I got it mixed up. Like, Bill Murray's character was Bosley.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah.
So there's...
I knew it there. I was like, she's going to play who Bill Murray played. That's what I had in my head.
So, okay. So here's the thing, though. So Elizabeth Banks is Bosley. A little bit further down the list, Patrick Stewart is Bosley. And right below him, Jaimin Hansu is Bosley.
What?
So I'm wondering if it's going to be like... Either they're going to be going through multiple Bosleys and they're just like quick cameos, or there's going to be multiple teams of angels.
Or there's an interdimensional hole in the universe and they came from Endgame and there's multiple Bosleys, but that's just silly. Or it could be true. Yeah, that's weird. What? Three Bosleys. So you said Patrick Stewart.
Jaimin Hansu. Yeah. And Elizabeth Banks. But Elizabeth Banks Bosley is the only one that has like a character page for it.
I wonder if they're like decoys or something in the movie.
That could be too.
But then Elizabeth Banks shows up. She's like, I'm the real Bosley. Hello, angels.
I wonder if they're going to bring back the speaker box. They have to bring back the speaker box. If they're doing Charlie's Angels, they have to bring back the speaker box with the hello, angels.
Hello, Charlie. Yeah. So we don't know who the third is?
No, not offhand.
Charlie's Angels 2019. Oh, and guess who directs that movie?
Elizabeth Banks.
Wow. Yeah, so it looks like the third one, I don't know who that is. So it looks like here, Ella Balinska? Balinska? I don't know who that is.
Okay.
Ella Balinska. That's who the other one is. She...
Yeah, she's done Charlie's Angels, Run, Sweetheart, Run, and Hunted.
Hmm.
Really, as her, like... big known for movies on IMDb at least.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. When's that supposed to come out anyway? I wonder. November 15th.
Yep, so not until winter here now.
Yeah, so Jaimin Hansu, Patrick Stewart. Weird. Jonathan Tucker's in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember him. He hasn't been in a lot lately. Last thing I remember him in is Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, well, I mean, looks like he's been doing some TV shows and things like that, mm-hmm. So... Keeping going, at least.
Exactly. But winding it back to Aladdin, I'm going to see it. I'm one of the other movies we're going to be talking about. I'm torn between which one I want to see first. I'm going to see both, but...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well...
I have my reservations about
this, I know, okay, so just kind of... I kind of want to hit one more thing on this one, though.
Which one?
On Aladdin.
Oh, I thought you meant Charlie's Angels. I was like, no, we're done with that.
No, going back to Aladdin, absolutely. The music... So we did have a chance to kind of listen to a few of the different songs. And, I mean, it seemed like they had a little bit more of a fresher take on them, a little bit more kind of geographically appropriate instruments, I guess mm-hmm. you would say, kind of intertwined into the melody and everything like that.
Right.
Other than Prince Ali, which, no, I kind of like the ones that we listened to.
Arabian Nights, yeah, that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only one I listened to, though.
Okay, well, I kind of listened to the one jump ahead as well, where he's, like, running through and being chased by the guards.
Oh, I came down at the tail end of that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was making the food. That one wasn't as thrilling to me.
I think if you had a chance to listen to it from the beginning, it would be a little bit better. But since he came down right at the very end, it's just kind of like, eh. I don't know.
Maybe. I'll give the soundtrack a listen.
I mean, it seems pretty good. Okay, I mean, that's all I got. I don't know if I'm going to see it, man.
Really?
I mean, I'm I might be more inclined, but I've got other stuff I want to see before this one.
I haven't seen Aladdin yet, but I will tell you straight up, see John Wick before you see Aladdin.
Okay. Thank you for the heads up. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Alrighty. Might as well move on to our next movie here, which is Booksmart. This one is rated R. The story follows Amy and Molly, two academic superstars and best friends who, on the eve of their high school graduation, suddenly realize that they should have worked less and played more. Determined never to fall short of their peers, the girls set out on a mission to cram 4 years of fun into one night. IMDb has this one at a 7.5 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes has it at a 99%, and Metacritic has it at an 84. I mean, I had heard nothing about this movie, really, before today. I mean, I had seen posters and stuff, but I really hadn't looked into it.
Yeah, I was kind of caught off guard by the trailer.
Right?
In a good way. I was like, oh, this actually looks really funny.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. There was one thing, one comment that I saw where it was like, it looks like the female version
Superbad,
but just kind of updated a little bit too.
That was my first thought when I saw it. I was like, dang. I was like, this reminds me of Superbad.
Which to me is not a bad thing.
No, that's like one of the best comedy movies ever made.
I mean, this one looks like it's going to be super funny. There's going to be probably some awkward, you know, awkward humor in there too, but just because of the type of people that, you know, going from Booksmart and trying to party, yeah, there's going to be awkwardness there. Absolutely. But did you see who was playing the one character's parents? I can't remember which character it was, but...
Let's see. Was it... I don't even know who the... Billy Lord's not her parent.
No.
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 Oh, Jason Sudeikis.
Nope.
What?
Lisa Kudrow and Will Forte.
Oh, okay. Jason Sudeikis is in it, though, but I don't know who he plays.
Really? Oh, yeah. No, he's the principal.
Oh, that's right.
I can't hear you. Soundproof glass.
Yeah. For some reason, I was getting him and Will Forte mixed up, but I watched the trailer like earlier today.
So. Yeah, they are two SNL alums. So, and then you know, obviously Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, because I was like Billy Lord is playing like one of she's like their age. So
right.
Was she in Star Wars?
Billy Lord.
I know she was in American Horror Story.
Yeah, yeah, she's Lieutenant Connix.
That's what. Okay, I was like, I swear. Because I recognized her, and I was like, I think she's in Star Wars, but I don't. I know her from something else aside from Star Wars. And that's what it is. As far as the main actresses, I don't know them from anything off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, I mean, she would be in Star Wars. She's, you know, Carrie Fisher's daughter.
Billy Lord is?
Yeah. Daughter of Brian Lord and Carrie Fisher.
I had zero idea. Wow. Now that I look at... Hold on. No... Okay, I can definitely see it now. Now that I look at her face. I looked up her picture. Oh, yeah. First thing when I Google her name. Billy Catherine Lord. Star Wars. Why Billy Lord asked to share scenes with her late mother, Carrie Fisher. What in the... Did you know that before this?
I did.
Oh, weird. Okay, well, I guess I'm not as much of a aficionado as I once thought. And now there's a Vanity Fair cocktail hour... Chadwick Boseman advertisement on my screen. Get out of here.
Yay.
Okay. But yeah, this movie, I mean,
it looks hilarious. It really does.
I do want to see it, actually.
And I mean, that was just the Green Band trailer that I watched too. You know, that wasn't even the Red Band trailer at all. But I mean, absolutely. This one, just as an R-rated kind of, you know, coming of age story, I guess you would call it, you know, trying to cram 4 years of partying into one night. Right before their graduation. Yeah, sounds like it should be a fun time here.
I want to see it. I'm not probably going to see it in theaters because there's too many other things that I got to get off my plate, including a third viewing of Endgame. So,
yeah, got to get that going soon. I mean, it's going to be out of the big screen this weekend.
Is it?
Aladdin's it'll still be in theater. But... Yeah, still be in the theaters, but it's going off the big screens. Aladdin's taking over.
Ugh. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I want to see Aladdin. I don't know. I want Aladdin to do well, but I don't because I'm... It ain't the same.
Mm.
It ain't Robin Williams.
No, I gotcha. It,
if there's one thing you don't mess with, especially a kid who grew up in the 90s, you don't mess with his nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ruin that.
Well, the way I figure it is you have to really kind of... If you're doing a movie like this, I'm not going to comment on whether it's a good idea or bad idea to do it in the first place, but if you are doing a movie like this, you have to really toe the line of changing it enough so that it stands out from the original, and not changing it too much so that everybody gets angry at you for changing their nostalgia.
Yeah.
And I think that that kind of goes for, you know, things like Star Wars too, you know, kind of bringing it back to that, where, you know, for episode 7, everybody was complaining that it's just a rehash of episode 4. Episode 8 comes around, completely changes everything, and they're like, oh, this isn't Star Wars anymore. And so I think you have to be, if you're doing something like that, you have to be really careful to try to toe that line between the two of them.
Yeah, but 7 and 8 just went from one extreme to the other. Like, 7 was like too...
Yeah.
Much like A New Hope. And then episode 8 was just, what the heck is this?
I mean, you know, an unpopular opinion. I enjoyed episode 8. I know a lot of people didn't, but...
I mean, there's worse movies, yeah, but it was easily the worst Star Wars movie I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
What was worse? And don't... Episode 1 was definitely better. I will say that with full confidence. 2. I like Clone Wars better. Attack of the Clones, excuse me.
You can't see it, but I'm making a kind of face.
Of the Clones. That's the only one you think was worse?
I mean, honestly, I'd have to go and rewatch them all again to put them in order.
I know you love Rogue One.
I thought Rogue One was amazing.
There's no way you think Last Jedi was better than Revenge of the Sith. I refuse to let that be an answer.
Again, I'd have to watch them all to kind of put them in any sort of order.
I don't know. It doesn't help that Rian Johnson is a complete not nice person, because I don't want to get bleeped, and I know how you don't like doing that. But just the way he reacts to people criticizing his movie, it kind of turns me off of it even more.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy has potential. He's directed episodes of Breaking Bad in the past, and among other things, but it's like, dude, just take the criticism and walk away from it. Just shut up. Like, you know how much flack James Cameron gets, especially now, because Endgame might pass Avatar? He just kind of takes it on the chin. He's like, whatever. He doesn't tweet at people about...
Oh, I mean, like, that's the thing, though, because for a lot of it for Rian Johnson, it wasn't necessarily just coming at him. It was coming at his actors, too. Because, like, I mean...
What's her name?
I can never remember her name. Kelly Marie Tran, right? I think that's her name.
I have nothing...
She...
Against her personally,
she was getting death threats for her character.
Her character sucked, don't get me wrong, but nothing that I would send a death threat over.
I mean, that's the kind of thing that, you know, Rian Johnson and all these, you know, actors and actresses and, you know, the people that are doing this production had to deal with, like, on a daily, hourly, minutely basis of all of this just hate coming towards them. And I mean, like, Kelly Marie Tran, she ended up deleting her Twitter because of it. Like, completely hopping off all social media because of it. So, I mean, yeah, he might have... He overreacted. There's no might have about it. He overreacted with kind of going back at the people who were sending this stuff. But I can see where he was coming from as well. You know, so I... I don't agree with what he did, but I can see why he did it.
I don't know. I don't like the idea of... And he never really explains why he did what he did. Like, a lot of the stuff that people were, like, upset about. Kind of like, what the hell was the point of Snoke? Mm-hmm. What was his purpose? And you just killed... Spoiler. You just killed him off right away. And then, I don't know, aside from him being a snarky jackwagon to most people, I feel like it's always this, did I subvert your expectations? Oh, you weren't expecting that. And everyone's like, no, I wasn't, but it was dumb. It wasn't like Infinity War where the snap happened and people were like, holy crap, what? Like, that's a good subvertive expectation, the villain winning, you know. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in Marvel movies usually. But back, I don't know, just the way he handles it, I think he personally rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's worse movies than The Last Jedi. Yes, The Last Jedi. I don't know why I thought that was wrong. But, I don't know, I would say it's my least favorite Star Wars movie.
Those that we have lost are not actually gone.
I'm not doing an emperor laugh.
Insert evil emperor cackle here.
aside from our mini Star Wars rant, which... Right. How did that even... Oh, Billy Lord.
Yeah. I mean, Booksmart looks amazing. I kind of want to go see it.
We both do.
Yeah. All
right, moving on.
Yeah, well, especially since this is going to be a pretty long episode. Next movie that we have is Brightburn. This one is rated R as well. What if a child from another world crash landed on Earth, but instead of becoming a hero of mankind, he proved to be something more sinister? This one is rated 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 67% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 44 on Metacritic. Evil Superman, go.
I'm going to see it. This is the one I'm torn between seeing this or Aladdin on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see them both eventually. Ooh, it went up on its rating.
It did?
66%.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, well, last I looked earlier, it was like 62, so it jumped up.
Okay. Making me think I mistyped something again. I tell you, I can see the appeal in this one. For other people, doesn't appeal to me.
What? Explain yourself.
Do you have the IMDb page up?
I do. Now I do. Well, IMDb? No, I have Rotten Tomatoes.
Or you have Rotten Tomatoes? Okay, one second. Let me see if it's on Rotten Tomatoes there as well. On Rotten Tomatoes, if you scroll down to movie info and right underneath rating, could you please read that for me?
Oh. Oh, come on, dude. It's not even... This doesn't count.
It is a horror movie. And I don't do horror movies.
Come on.
I mean, I guess, you know, and the person that we were talking about before, Elizabeth Banks, is back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what is this guy in? David Denham, or Denman.
13 Hours.
And The Office.
Yep.
Yep, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, hey, Badger's in this.
Badger?
Matt Jones. He played Badger on Breaking Bad.
I mean, that would require me to have watched Breaking Bad.
See, you haven't seen Breaking Bad. You're over here defending The Last Jedi. And
I know. I am a horrible self-proclaimed movie buff.
I mean, I guess if you haven't seen Breaking Bad, it doesn't do anything to your movie buff credit. It might affect your overall score for being a media connoisseur, nerd aficionado in all aspects. It's one of the trees. It's one of the branches you miss.
Media snob?
I guess.
Gotcha. Alrighty. But yeah,
I've never seen Game of Thrones either.
I've watched a few episodes. I just never got into it. But yeah, no, I will not be seeing this one.
I will. And I'll let you know how it is.
Alrighty.
And then you still won't see it.
Exactly.
Wait, did you ever see It?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I saw the original one, or the 92 TV movie.
91.
91?
Look it up. I think it's 91. I want to make sure I'm right. Fun fact, I was in pressing. So we went out for a workouting yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and then we went to the bar afterwards and we were chilling. And we were talking about movies, and my boss, who was there, he's like, oh yeah, that came out in like this, that. I'm like, oh, it came out. We were talking about American Pie.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, that was 1999. He's like, yeah. He's like, I think it was done. He's like, no, wasn't it? It was 99. And then American Pie 2 was 2001 and American Wedding was 2003. And they're like, what the? And like they were just, because I kept rattling off what year's movies came out.
Yeah.
And then they had me like Google it to like prove it. And I looked it up. I was like, and as I was typing it in, it popped up. And they're like, say it again. Or say the next movie, but say it before you type it. And I was like, American Wedding, 2003. I was like, July 24th, 2003. Pulled it up. And they're like, what?
Nice.
I just thought it was funny. I was like, ah, I'm using this weird random skill that I have.
Release date, 18th of November, 1990.
As soon as you said 18th of November, I was like, it was 1990.
I mean, so you were close with 91. It was right next to 91. But, you were closer than I was, so. But yeah, no, I
didn't say it was perfect.
Close to the release date of the movie there.
There's only like a few movies where I memorize the exact date. Most of them I can get the years.
Mm-hmm.
But, mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not seeing it. Obviously, you're going to go try to see it.
I'm going to see it. I am going to see
it. You are going to see it.
It's just a matter of I'll probably see Aladdin first just because, I don't know.
Gotcha. Alrighty. Well, I mean, we might as well just go on to our last movie of the night here.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. This one is Echo in the Canyon, which is rated PG-13. Or, I'm sorry, second to last movie. God, I am way out of it today. Second to last movie is Echo in the Canyon, which is PG-13.
Go ahead.
Echo in the Canyon celebrates the explosion of popular music that came out of LA's Laurel Canyon in the mid-60s as folk went electric and the Byrds, the Beach Boys, Buffalo Springfield, and the Mamas and the Papas gave birth to the California sound. It was a moment when bands came to LA to emulate the Beatles, and Laurel Canyon emerged as a hotbed of creativity and collaboration for a new generation of musicians who would soon put an indelible stamp on the history of American popular music. Featuring Jacob Dylan, the film explores the beginnings of the Laurel Canyon music scene. Dylan uncovers never-before-heard personal details behind the bands and their songs, and how that music continues to inspire today. Echo in the Canyon contains candid conversations and performances with Brian Wilson, Ringo Starr, Michelle Phillips, Eric Clapton, Stephen Stills, David Crosby, Graham Nash, Roger McGinn, and Jackson Brown, as well as contemporary musicians they influenced, such as Tom Petty in his very last film interview, Beck, Fiona Apple, Cat Power, Regina Spektor, and Nora Jones. IMDb has this one at a 6.7 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes has it at a 100%, and Metacritic did not have a score.
Want some water after that synopsis?
Kind of here. Hold on. Just, let me get a quick drink here.
I'm not going to see this.
Really?
But I know I'm a musician and I don't know.
I mean, you're a musician. It's a documentary film. It's talking about, you know, kind of like a big generation in music for, you know, like they said, the American sound, you know, the California sound, going from, you know, the Beach Boys, the Mamas and the Papas. I mean, I'm sure, like, they're interviewing David Crosby, so Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't really, I mean, I appreciate that music,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and I'll listen to it, but it doesn't really have a, I don't know, just not my draw.
Okay, see, I was thinking this one looked really amazing, and I want to go see this if I have an opportunity to.
I mean, I would watch it.
Yeah.
It's not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
it's just not go see in the theater kind of thing for you.
I don't think I see any I love documentaries, but mm-hmm. I don't think I see any of them in theaters.
See, this is one that I think I'm most excited about this one for this week. Well, Booksmart and then this one. And then Aladdin.
You like this one over Aladdin?
I do.
Crazy. Everyone trying to emulate the Beatles.
A little bit. Well, I mean, then they said that in the trailer that we watched, it looked like they were saying that the Beatles were then, or the Beach Boys inspired Sgt. Pepper's. So the Beatles inspired the Beach Boys, who then inspired them for Sgt. Pepper's. Because, I mean, they're interviewing Ringo Starr here and Brian Wilson.
Want to hear an unpopular opinion?
What's that?
I think the Beatles are the most overrated musical act ever, of all time.
Wow. Okay. So you're not going to go see Yesterday when that comes out?
No.
Okay.
I don't hate that. I just don't. Honestly, I listened to their music and I was like, there is, maybe at the time, and I appreciate them for what they've done and the inspiration and mm-hmm. profound impact they've had on the music industry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for me, when I listen to them, I'm like, eh. it doesn't do anything for me. Like I think the Eagles are better than the Beatles.
Okay.
By far.
Okay.
In my opinion, I enjoy their music a lot more, and they're not nothing to scoff at. I mean, I'm pretty sure they haven't sold as many records as the Beatles, but they're mm-hmm. up there. I'm pretty sure they're like the third or fourth highest selling musical act of all time. You know who number two is right behind the Beatles, though? I do know this.
Is it? I want to say like Prince or Michael Jackson.
No.
No?
You talk about American sound. What's more American than country music?
Yeah.
Don't look it up. Who is it?
I have no idea.
Come on. What's the first thing you think of when you think country music?
Conway Twitty.
What?
I don't know. My mind immediately went to Family Guy and their running joke of always cutting to Conway Twitty.
Oh. But when you think country music artists, biggest name you can think of.
I don't know. Who's the second highest?
You gotta at least give it some kind of guess.
I mean, I don't know, man. I haven't listened to country for a while.
Okay. Name three country artists. And you probably name him.
D- dude, honestly, the ones that I got are Brad Paisley, Kenny Chesney, and Tim McGraw.
Close. Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks. Okay.
I was like, is he? He's close. Yeah. Tim McGraw's up there. He's like in the top 30, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dude, because Garth Brooks came here a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I saw people's Instagram and Snapchats of that concert. He did two shows at US Bank Stadium, sold it out completely.
I believe it.
And he had like overflow.
Mm-hmm.
So there was like more people than Vikings games even, and he sold it out twice. Just nuts.
Wow.
Like, I'm just saying, appreciate the mega stardom of that. The Beatles are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Jackson's dead. Like, there's no giant superstar like that anymore. They don't exist. Like, no one draws a crowd like he does anymore. Like, that's unheard of. That's why I'm like, I'm going to appreciate this for what it is.
Gotcha.
I didn't go see him, but yeah. I like him, but I wasn't about to drop money on those tickets.
Sure, it was going to be a nice little pretty penny there for those.
That's end game money.
That's true.
That's collectibles money for my,
there you go.
For my gym. That's another helmet for my gym.
Man, dude, you got some good stuff there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Yeah, so, I mean, I want to see Echo in the Canyon. I think it looks really good. That's basically stuff that I grew up, like the music that I grew up on was that. Any and all car rides, if we weren't listening to Radio Oz, we were listening to, you know, the 50s and the 60s and, you know, Mamas and the Papas and the Beach Boys and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see it.
Alrighty. Well, I mean, I guess we can finally make it down to the last movie here, you think?
Yeah, this will be quick because you probably know my answer.
This last one is called The Proposal. It is not rated. Known as the artist among architects, Louis Barragán is among the world's most celebrated architects of the 20th century. Upon his death in 1988, much of his work was locked away in a Swiss bunker hidden from the world's view. In an attempt to resurrect Barragán's life and art, boundary-redefining artist Jill McGid creates a daring proposition that becomes a fascinating artwork in itself, a high-wire act of negotiation that explores how far an artist will go to democratize access to art. IMDb has this one at a 5.3 out of 10, and there is no score on Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic. So what's your thoughts? Nice. Can I finish?
Sure.
Hold on.
No.
I was going to see if I could twist it around anyway. But I can't really think of anything. So you're not going to go see it. I mean, when I first read the synopsis, it was like, okay, you know, I can see how this could be a somewhat decent movie, a little bit more of a documentary style movie as well. But just watching it, watching the trailer, I mean, it was just kind of, I don't know, man. It didn't seem right, I guess.
There's nothing about it that intrigues me.
Yeah?
Nothing.
You get nothing. Good day, sir.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, this one just, I feel like, kind of like you were feeling, I mean, you were feeling about Rian Johnson. It ruffles my feathers a little bit, kind of in the wrong way.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
I'm not going to go see it. Not even going to try to look for it, anything like that. You're not going to go see it. Not going to try to look for it, anything like that.
Then we're in agreement.
I think we are in agreement here, sir. Alrighty, well, I think that about covers it for all of our movies. I'm saying I think a lot, so I think I will stop saying that. sorry, I crack myself up sometimes. Since we are done with all of our movies, and since everybody has been so patient in listening to our kind of offshoots and rants and anything like that going off on these tangents here. Hey, look, tangents. Let's go ahead and talk about where you can find us other than through this podcast. We do have a Twitter, just at movies are a thing. No spaces, dashes, slashes, question marks, anything like that. Go ahead and follow us there. We try to get some other stuff going, which, by the way, apparently on the last, was it like Sunday, I think it was the 20th anniversary of Phantom Menace.
I did see that. Well, I don't mean the movie, but I saw that it was the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, yeah. It was. It might have been Monday. No, I think it was Sunday night. Sunday. Sorry.
It was this weekend.
Yeah, it was past Sunday. Weekend. It was Sunday. I know because I worked until Monday, and then I saw that it was, you know, I had missed the day, and so I was really mad about it. But I kind of threw out something on Twitter for that, so you would have seen it if you would have been following us on Twitter at movies are a thing, no spaces, dashes, slashes, question marks, anything like that. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter at movies are a thing. The other place that you can find us is on Patreon. We are just patreon.com/moviesareathing. Nothing after that, no question marks, anything like that. Just patreon.com/moviesareathing, where you'll be able to hear us go through a couple of different things. There's a couple different tiers there, whether you want to know which movies we're going to be talking about on the next podcast a little bit earlier than us publishing it, and also a little extra podcast for those that are able to or want to support us a little bit more.
And you're going to want to hear what we're talking about this week, so go to it.
It's going to be fun. The other place that we have is Facebook. We did start up a Facebook, just facebook.com/moviesareathing. Nothing. Dun, dun,
dun. I don't know why that I had to do the sinister music for Facebook.
Facebook's a pretty sinister outlet a little bit. But that is neither here nor there because we have joined up. Go us. Facebook.com/moviesareathing. I got nothing else. I think that pretty well covers everything that I got here.
See you on Patreon, people.
It's going to be fun.
Here it comes. Cue the outro.
Thank you for listening to Movies Are a Thing.
Come back next week for more movies and tangents with us. Jesus.
Well, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Was not expecting the wrecking ball of a dog coming down the staircase.
Break through the thing.